Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to effect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. All right, we are back with another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? I am your co-host, Danny Wolf.
And I am your willing cohort, Chris Roberts.
And I will say, Chris and I are joining live today very tired for good reason.
Understatement on that one, definitely.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to see a stranger.
Yeah, all of what, 12 hours? If I don't know, what the heck? Yeah, maybe something like that one.
Yeah, 12 hours. So though, for those of you who don't know, Chris and I hung out yesterday in Anaheim, and we ran quite an effective couple CISO validation panels with some folks, with some vendors. So that was a really good time. And we got to be very constructive and give feedback and try to affect change. So how did you enjoy that?
It was definitely good. It was, I think to your point, it was good. It was, so it was almost a tale of 2 days, without naming names, and the people can go online and see it, but it was definitely a tale of 2 days, because the first, there was an absolute difference, night and day, almost a very palatable night and day difference between the first and second set of vendors that we had conversations with. And I think it's not a demeaning conversation with maybe the first vendor, but it was very much a defensive position / this is what we're doing, we just want to validate it kind of conversation. And almost a hey, here's what we're doing, we just kind of want to tell you, and almost, I wouldn't say we want to sell to you, but it definitely felt that way. Mm-hmm. Whereas the second set of conversations were very much more constructive, very much more, you know, the organization came in and turned around and said, hey, look, this is what we know. This is what we don't know. Help us understand what we don't know, why we don't know it. Give us, literally, take your brains and put them on the table and let us poke and prod and try to understand why. Mm-hmm. And moderate / course correct where necessary. So it was a very, very, I mean, both were very, very constructive, but they were both approached from a very, very different mindset, should we say, by... Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, us around the table as well, from the CISO's perspective, might have, you know, we might have loosened up by the afternoon, but I don't think so. I think, just watching the room, I think both sides, you know, I think our side definitely came in with almost the same playing field across both of them. So, no, it was good. And it was actually nice to catch up with other folks as well.
Yeah, 100%. I appreciate it, obviously. I think it was a great panel, great folks in the room, great vendors. So, super excited to do more of those. I mean, we talked about affecting change, and I think that really resonated with both vendors and with the CISOs in the room. We also talked about something that we didn't noodle on as much as I wanted to, and maybe we could get into this today, because I did see a post up, and I also, again, it resonated with me in the room yesterday, which was, it's not only you, it's also us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, whenever we get to do these sessions and whenever we have these conversations, I think some homework for the vendor, aside from just coming up with the necessary couple of questions that they really want us to dig into, is hey, we want feedback. I want to know, you know, to your point, we did a post on this on LinkedIn a couple of days ago. What that was, it called, it was like, dear vendor, stop being an, no, not dear vendor, sorry, dear CISO. God, now I'm still at it. Mm-hmm. Default programming. Dear CISO, stop being an ass or something like that. What was it? I'm gonna call the bloody thing. Yeah, there we go. Dear CISO, don't be an ass. And it wasn't, to me, it wasn't just about the CISO. It was, you know, very much CIO, CTO, CISOs, you know, all of that tech C-suite. Now, there was some actually really, really, oh, there we go. That tech C-suite There was some good conversations with a couple of folks who were like, hey, your industry isn't, you know, unique, special snowflakes. It's in a lot of others. I'm like, I'm happy to hear that. It's refreshing to hear that, but not in a positive way, unfortunately. I don't know enough about those. I know enough about some of those industries to guess it would be the case, but I can only talk from our industry, and our industry is broken from the CISO's perspective, definitely, to some degree.
Have there been any, like, tangible or like concrete examples of how it's broken, or messages, or I know we touched on this, I think maybe 10 episodes ago. And yeah. By the way, happy 20. This Ooh. Is our 20th episode.
Yay.
That's a milestone.
That's
anything that like we could take as an example, and then I think we'll break it down into two questions. Examples of ways that maybe irked you on the C-suite side, and then what we could do to flip it.
To do something about it. Yeah, I think there's definitely some tangible examples. Absolutely no two ways about it. You've got the attitude with some of the C-suites of the entitlement, shall we say. And for those of you that are listening, this actually came from a couple of folks that are often in the audience and that we often talk with, and just people I know. So this isn't just from my experience. This is other people within the industry going, oh yeah, let me tell you about a time by doing this, and this CISO said this or did this or whatever. So a couple of things. We'll talk about the FU dinner. We had a nice dinner after this thing, and I got handed the wine list. For those of you that know or don't know, not only do I have like the whiskey and bourbon and everything else, but I had a fairly decent wine collection. Know one or two things about collecting wine and drinking the decent stuff,
which, by the way, totally smacked me in the head punch like after like half a glass.
It was good stuff. But I mean, so standard wine list in a very nice restaurant, you know, it goes from, if you're lucky, you can find a couple of decent models at like the 50, 60 mark, and they just go up from there. You know, some of the higher end restaurants finish at the 200 to 300 mark. Some of them go 600, 700, 800 and above. There are a couple of places around here that I've gone to every now and again that are, you know, a couple of thousand for a bottle. And some of it's worth it. I would argue some of it's actually worth it, but here's where I think it frustrates the heck out of me. And I saw it at one time in a different location as well. And basically, the CISO was a CIO in this case, if I remember rightly. The CIO in this case got invited out by an organization that was already doing business with them. So this was a relationship with family. So this is a perfect example. This is, you know, the stuff that you and I were doing yesterday. You know, you'd ask me to come out, I'd come out, and I'm humbled by it. I appreciate the fact that I'm coming out, as opposed to taking that entitled view, which is like, oh, you're bringing me out to go and spew my thoughts across the table, and I'm going to make you pay for dinner. And that is where the challenge comes in, because in this particular case, the vendor took one of their clients out for dinner, and they knew about it beforehand, because I got the whispering in the ear beforehand going, and this is going to suck. It's going to be basically a fuck you dinner, which is, we're going out, and they did what they said. They ordered some of the most expensive wine on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't finish their food, and they ordered some of the most expensive food on the menu. To me, that's an asshole move.
Yeah.
That's an absolute asshole move. You know, I think the wine that we ordered yesterday was 77. There we go. Yeah. And that's how I look at things. I'm like, okay, you know, lowest is 50 something, highest isn't 200. Let's try and keep it under 100 and still get a decent quality bottle of wine. I don't feel bad about that, because that bottle in a shop is still going to be 45, 50 bucks.
Yeah.
But there were on that menu several hundred bottles, and there were some really nice ones. But ooh, that'd be a nice one to try. But I'm used to those, you know, or I've had them, or I'm like, I'm not going to do this on your dime. It's just not fair. But I think some people don't have that filter, so that's what pisses me off on that one. Same thing with the food. It's, you know, I know this was a set menu, but instantly going to the most expensive and adding a lobster tail or adding this on, to me, is a bullshit move.
You know, yeah. I guess it stems from intent, right?
Yeah,
I think everybody there, and you know, I thought about this as I was building this event, and you know, oh, well, am I going to get backlash because I am doing literally a steak dinner?
It's a balance. It's a balance.
But yeah.
Yeah. And it's because I was actually, you know, it's ironic. We were talking about it at the dinner. There was a couple of us were talking on the side about it at the dinner going, I normally wouldn't do this. This, my normal, like, hey, my normal remit is like, if it's a new vendor or somebody I haven't met, it's like, we're sitting down for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. I did it last week, sat down with somebody last week, and we had a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, whatever, and I paid. Yeah. I'm like, next time, you get it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But this time it's on me. We had the conversation. I'd ask you for more stuff. That way it's a me thing, definitely. Next time, yeah, you can buy the tea or coffee. And maybe at some point in time, a perfect example, Maria, who I haven't seen yet this morning, Maria was out in this neck of the woods for Rocky Mountain InfoSec conference last week. And she's like, hey, we're doing a, you know, New Spire is doing a dinner thing. And I'm like, and she's like, it's just a come along. It's a table of snacky things. I'm like, all right, I'm okay with it. But again, it's in a different situation with us.
Yeah.
We've had them in as a partner. We've worked with them. We continue to work with them. And we give as good as we get. You know, for us, it's definitely almost one of those design partner type things. Like, hey, this is what we see we get from you. Can we tweak it? Can we tweak it? Can we do something with it? And then, by the way, if we can do this for you, go fucking go sell it to every other bloody company that you're dealing with this is with, and go talk with them about it. How can we actually help? Not how can you help us gain more insight, but how can we help you?
Mm.
And that's a proper partnership. So I don't mind so much. You know, we sat down. I actually just had water. I don't think I had a drink. We had water. I think one of my other crew, two of the other crew were there. They had a drink or two, and that was about it. And, you know, some snacks. So I don't feel so bad about that. But general rule of thumb is, you know, those $100, $200, $300 steak dinners, I will do my best to shy away from them, unless it is something where somebody's putting it on. They're like, hey, we're inviting 10 or 11 CISOs. I'm like, okay, I'm actually interested in this.
Yeah.
I actually want to learn about it. I'm running ragged during the day. Yeah, let's go out and talk about it.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's got to be a really good freaking reason for me to go do those, not just a jolly because I want an evening out and a free dinner.
And I think adding on to that, you know, something that was really interesting that, you know, we had, first of all, a lot of Chris's in the room yesterday, which was
three or four.
Yeah. Plus the fact that we were Ruth's Chris. So yes. I think what Chris Elliott had mentioned was, I don't want those steak dinners. Like, I just want to get to know you, want to build that, you know, relationship and partnership. And like, if we could just, like, to your point, sit down for a cup of tea, go for tacos and beer, and just see what's up and see what's the state of things, and that's it. So I think, you know, what I can take out of this is just be authentic, just be real, don't have any ulterior motives, maybe.
I think from the vendor standpoint, and because, again, having sat on that side of the table as well, It's a several things. So a steak dinner is never a 1 hour thing or a half hour thing. Let's be honest, 15 minutes of your time is rarely 15 minutes of your time.
Right.
First and foremost, let's have some honesty and integrity around how long you know these conversations might take. At the very least, it's a 30-minute conversation. When I book up my Friday afternoons to talk to vendor suppliers and other folks, it's a 30-minute segment, and we stick to it. Because if I can't get what I need out of you in 30 minutes, and honestly, if you as the vendor partner can't explain some value proposition and some understanding for me inside that 30 minutes, then we've done something wrong.
Yeah.
So 30 minutes does not allow for a good steak dinner. 30 minutes, to your point, allows to, hey, let's go out for a taco salad for lunch, or let's just go hang out at a coffee shop. There's actually a really good Turkish coffee shop down by the road from Boom. I keep meaning to get my ass down there. I see it and I'm like, oh, I need to go in there. You know, that's a $10-$20 investment at most, and we're done.
Yes.
So if, and this is where, having sat on that vendor side, when that conversation is, oh yes, we'll go out for dinner, the alarm bells start to go off.
Yeah.
And at that point, especially, and Ali just said something, you know, if you're coming to the finish line, maybe a slightly different conversation as a, hey, thanks for all the work and time and effort. Let us go out and celebrate. I think that's maybe a different thing.
Yep.
But if it's a, hey, let me woo you, or in the CISO side, if it's a, you need to woo me, that's an alarm bells thing for me.
Adding on to that, I think just being open to providing feedback instead of just like straight up let's just put our hands up, don't even talk to me, I think is also a disservice to the vendor side. You know, being able to even maybe just say no, if that's the, you know, just give a response. I think either a polite no or I will give you a little bit of time of day to be constructive about it and show you what's not working could go a long way versus just being that, you know, asshole of a person and, you know, you're wasting my time, blah, 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 being mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's from my side, it's if I put the CISO hat back on again, it's rough. I mean, you know, I woke up this morning and this isn't a cut on LinkedIn. I mean, LinkedIn's getting to be basically the next version of my inbox. You know, I still have, what do I still have? I still have 30, almost 40. I got almost 40 invites to go through. And I want to, you know, I like some of these ones. You know, I'm cautiously asking you to link. Great. I love that because at least you've read the damn profile. I'm happy about that. But there were 10 or 15 yesterday that were like, hey, we'd love to link in with you. And then I look at the messages. I've already moved a bunch of them to yellow. Hey, Chris, we've been helping CISOs easily streamline security audits. Okay. Can I send more info? No, because you didn't read something up front. You know, software development. Hi, Chris. We provide best remote software developers. I mean, hi, Chris. I was looking at your profile regarding Boom Security Framework. Are you available for a 5-minute chat? You know damn well it isn't a 5-minute chat.
Yeah.
You know, stop lying. First and foremost, stop lying.
Yeah.
You know it isn't 5 minutes. You might want to catch my eye because it's like, oh, it's only 5 minutes. Well, it isn't five, and we all know it's not 5 minutes.
Let's talk about LinkedIn relationships.
Ooh, yeah.
Let's talk about it because we drill down to the spam inbox on your email.
Yeah.
Let's talk about LinkedIn etiquette. We broke down I think it was one or two episodes ago, we broke down a good LinkedIn in-mail that came in to you.
Oh, yeah.
But let's talk about maintaining a LinkedIn relationship with you. What does that look like? High level.
I'm probably one of those exceptions when it comes to the CISO side of the world or even senior leadership side. I have made it very clear how to approach me.
Yeah.
I am not a closed book. I'm an extremely open book when it comes to how to approach me. And the way I look at things, you know, this perfect one that came in saying, hey, do you have 5 minutes of time? If you'd have actually approached it differently, I might have said yes, like, hey, let's grab time on Friday. But the fact you didn't spend 5 minutes just looking even at my profile and going, you've only got to look at my sudden profile. This isn't bloody rocket science. I mean, I pretty much said, what the hell do I say on my profile? Where is it? Researcher, let's have a look. You know, researcher, hacker, and CISO Boom Supersonic. Oh, good, he's a CISO Boom Supersonic. I'm going to try and sell him shit. Please, and the next sentence, which is on the sudden profile, please remember rule number one, do not act incautiously when confronting small, bald, wrinkly, smiling men. One, I'm not small, but two, I'm getting bald, and three, I'm a smiley, wrinkly old man. Y'all might want to do a little research on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've made it very, I mean, I've got it on my flipping featured posts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talk about speaking stuff. I talk about why coming. I talk about why care. I talk about, you know, the value of time and a bunch of other stuff on there. I've made it very, very clear. Hey, do some research. For crying out loud, the podcast is on there, for goodness sakes. Although I didn't put one on for this week, so I totally screwed up, so I apologize.
No worries. We have a good group in.
Yeah. So for me, I've made it relatively, I mean, good grief alive. You just got to Google my name for crying out loud and read the damn research and the stuff behind it. So, but even without that, Even if that aside, like somebody just said on here, you know, LinkedIn's making it difficult to join these days. There are a lot of very nice Asian ladies who continue to want to connect with me because I'm interesting and like the look of my profile, apparently. So it's all very nice to see all those bots and just off them to the side. Or if they're humans, unfortunately, for the most part, typically those are what we would like to call a watering hole attack, which is where you're like, hi, you're wonderful, you're a mate, let's go talk on WhatsApp. And then it just goes downhill from there, unfortunately. So yeah, beware of those scams on the side of the world. I think within LinkedIn, I don't see it being too dissimilar of an approach. It's like, hey, read the profile, you know, approaching cautiously. Know you're a CISO of a Boom Supersonic. Love what you do. I mean, people have approached us based off of you and I doing the podcast. Say, look, we, you know, did the research, found the podcast, you and Danny. Would love to try to get on your schedule at some point in time and just have a brief conversation. Now, it's a tough one because you really just want to end it there. Because once you start kind of saying more and more and more, first and foremost, you're putting your foot in your mouth without actually even knowing what the heck the reaction is going to be. Secondly, it becomes more like an essay that I've got to read as opposed to two paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
But, and go on.
No, no. But okay, but I want to take it even further because it's I'm itching. My mouth's itching.
Go. Yeah.
But you have the initial outbound, right, from someone coming inbound to you.
Yeah.
Let's just say that first message resonated.
Yep.
But you're not necessarily going to get anything out of the first message apart from maybe a connection request and, oh, hey, thanks for connecting, whatever. But, you know, there's a play here, right? Let's say I'm trying to, you know, I'm a BDR or even an AE or marketer, right?
Yeah.
And I want to connect with my particular target audience. You as the CISO of Boom, right? We connected. What resonates with you long term? Like, because LinkedIn is not email. You can see content, you can see posts, yeah. You can see. So what is kind of working for you? What do you want to see after that initial message, which is going to get you to be like, oh, okay, I'm liking what this person is either posting, saying, whatever. Like, what gets you to tick?
Genuine human.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to feel like I'm talking with a genuine human,
yeah,
not another transcript.
Okay.
And I think that to me, yeah, when you and I talked, it was a genuine human conversation. It was not another, you know, when we got through some stuff, you know, it wasn't just another cut and paste script.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I am here. I see this. I am wanting to send you this. Would you be in? No, don't do that to me. Hey, how's it going? How's the weather over in Colorado? Soggy here in this neck of the woods. Would love to catch up for 15 minutes, lament on the state of the weather, and possibly even discuss cybersecurity. Fucking perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You've taken those extra 30 seconds to do a little bit of research and realize that Colorado is basically nothing more than a tornado alley swamp at the moment. and that maybe there's a level of sarcastic humor on both sides of the fence. I think that's one of them.
Okay.
The generic, and it, again, don't get me wrong, this is tough because, yeah, there we go. Beautiful. So for those that seeing this or not seeing this is LinkedIn user, you know, I hate gift cards a bit. You do too. Want to hang out at the artillery range. Perfect. Just hilarity. Yeah. Just on that one, there's a level of hilarity on that one because yeah, I mean, that's part of my background, military background. And I might every now and again have shot and tasered people.
I'm gonna push you even more.
No, go for it. Actually, I just saw Justin's. Actually, the vulgarity one's an interesting one. You gotta be really bloody careful because if you don't come from my neck of the woods, and you stop trying to drop, you try to drop a bloody hell in there or something like that, and it's in the wrong place, I'm more likely to be like, oy vey, somebody's over trying at that point. Just be you. Be authentic. You. Be authentic.
Yeah.
That's I mean, Maria, again, you know, she's on here. Maria's, again, it's a perfect thing. What I see is what I get. Maria's having a bad day. I hear about the bad day. Maria's having a good day. I hear about it. I see the kid stuff, you know, and it's not done in a way that is, if there's like subtlety selling in it, holy shit, she's perfected it, but it's just being the human. All right, you want to push
I want to push you more because from the messages and the emails, let's just say let's talk about posts because I know this week I had a what the fuck moment when I saw on LinkedIn a post about the top secure companies in the world from Forbes.
No, I hadn't seen that.
That was a big WTF moment. I think a lot on the call here would agree.
Oh, I didn't see that. I'm intrigued on that one.
Yeah. So if somebody like posted something like that, or what, how would that change your perception of them? Or I guess a better question would be, what posts resonate with you that make you feel like you could relate or connect with this person?
I think it's somebody, you know, because I'll look through LinkedIn posts. If somebody's connecting, very honestly, I'll look through. I mean, let's pick one of the ones at the moment. So
like what helps you? Let's just say it. What helps you?
I think what helps me is having somebody who has interacted on LinkedIn. So, you know, we'll kind of half name names. Veronica hit me up, and it was partly about one of the posts I put out, because I put a post out there talking about, you know, whether you get paid, don't get paid for being, for going to conferences. And I actually broke down how much money I spend out of pocket on conferences versus that. I think there's so many people like, oh, he gets paid all the time to go everywhere. Well, no, he does not. And that's part of an imposter syndrome thing. But Veronica hit me up. She said, hey, your post about speaking engagements made me feel like I'm not alone. I love that you touched on imposter syndrome. Sometimes I feel like, why am I being asked to know someone like you whose experience gets through? It makes me realize this is normal and I'm enough. You want to talk about somebody who's just like opened up and said, hey, thanks. Thanks for actually making this human. Now, you look at this person and, you know, I just click on a profile, which takes all of 2 seconds. And you can see that there's interaction online. You can see there's activity. You can see that there's a conversation. You can see that there are, and the interactions are positive. It's not somebody berating others in the industry. It's somebody, as a perfect example, 6 months ago, I applied for a chief of staff role within da da da, and I did this. This is somebody who's being a human online and trying to help others. Here's me. Here's my life. Here's my experience. Here's what I've done well. Here's where I've tripped over. Here's the good things, the bad things. Here's stuff I want to share with the community. So it's almost like a speaker's corner. It's almost like you're using this platform to try to help others. You're not just to self-efface and not just repost. I don't mind some reposts, but oh my gosh, I hate so many of these reposts. It's like you just I see it, and I challenge people who repost my stuff. I'm like, I don't mind you reposting. I appreciate it. I don't get benefit from it, but I appreciate it. But what I would love is I want your insights on it as well. If you just do a straight repost, that's one thing. But if you repost, and there's some amazing people who have reposted some of the stuff I've put out there, and have added anything from like a couple of really insight sentences to a couple of amazing paragraphs, I'm like, holy shit, that was fantastic. And I've said, thank you. So it's back to that human. It's back to, I don't want to go for a tea, a coffee, a steak dinner with just another person who's going to sell me something. I want to know that human being that I'm going to be interacting with for an extended period of time.
Got you. What insights are you looking for right now? Is that a clear question? I don't know. Like you said, I'm looking for insights.
Yeah. And I think maybe that is a question. It's like, hey, we're halfway through 2023. Obviously as a CISO, your priorities were set before 2023 rolled around. What's still on the plate? What's changed, and anything we can help with? That in itself is a very open-ended and very positive question. It's not making an assumption that I have budget, I've got some. It's not making an assumption that I got my shit together, which kind of have some. It's not telling me that your product's going to solve it. It's like, hey, how's 23 going? You know, apart from the fact you're in Colorado and you're up to your ankles in you know, rainwater and tornadoes, how's 23 going? You know, how are the projects going? What have you got on your plate left at 23 that anything we can help with? How's 24 shaping up? Anything we can help you from an insights on 24. So to your point, the insights is a good one. It's, I know enough to know what I know, but I also know to rely on, you know, to Tara, to Brad, to Justin, to Charles, to Jeff and John and all the folks on the team to go, what are you seeing? I look at the leadership team. I look at the advisory board into the board of directors. I look at everybody else and go, what are you seeing? Where are we? Where's the industry trends going? Now, industry trends are another one. It's useful to know what's going on, but don't send me a link to a freaking paywall, or not even a paywall, to a barrier. Don't go, hey,
it's a paywall in some regard.
What the hell? It's not just a paywall.
A gated page.
Thank you, gated page. I don't want to have to sign up for your insights on 2023 or 2024. I'm happy for you to shoot some over.
What was it we talked about yesterday with regards to gating technical content? I think it was Quincy who said something.
Oh, God. Oh, I know what it was. We were talking, okay. So this is actually a really good topic. We're talking about cloud. The second partner vendor people that came in, it was all with reference to identity management in the cloud. Now, a lot of us have obviously been with the cloud since it bloody started. Hey, Miriam, good luck with the client call. Take care of you. The cloud, and it was basically they were going off about, you know, we do this in the cloud. I'm like, take a step back. First and foremost, get rid of the acronyms. Let's actually talk in a language that not only can I understand, but my mother can bloody understand. But secondly, more importantly, you're making an assumption that your audience is educated on everything in the cloud. We're not. We know enough to be dangerous. We know enough to know what we do know and probably what we don't know. We don't know everything. We're probably missing a whole bunch of stuff. So first and foremost, take a step back and educate us. You know, when you first start in this industry, you learn this wonderful thing called the OSI model and how it simplifies the layers of communication, everything from basically the hardware machine layer stuff, the shit that actually makes the internet work, all the way up to the stuff that we see on the screen. There's layers in between. Now, the OSI model simplifies it, says, hey, there's 7 layers, here they are, and they're nicely arranged. Now, when we actually look at applications and systems and networks, it's a complete shit show. But it breaks it down so it's understandable and digestible. We need something similar with the cloud because a lot of us are like, well, hang on, I've got this, and there's this bit here, and there's this bit here, and there's these bits here, and there's this bits, and that stack keeps getting like this way. And then you add identity here, and you try to glue it to here, and then you add PAM, IAM, CASB, and then 25 other acronyms in, and you're like, somebody might actually drawing this shit out so I can understand it. And so that was the conversation, or one of the conversations. And it was like, hey, if a vendor can take that up efficiently and do it in an agnostic way, in other words, don't slap your branding over a single point of it, to give me an info, just a piece of information, and you don't hide that behind a gated wall, we'd love you. Probably now until the ends of the earth, let's be honest.
Love it. All right. What else do we have today? Do we have any message that we want to dig into, or are we going to buy back?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so yeah, we're hitting this one. Good grief alive. And I wasn't so bad. So I got hit up. Social media marketing manager. Oh, I forgot to get one of those. Gosh darn it.
I forgot to bring them.
Okay, so this one hit me up, and I'm like, you're killing me. Like, this was just, so Joycelyn hit me up, LinkedIn, hit me up about a month or two ago, and just, you know, it was, hey, thanks for connecting. Great, yeah, April, what are we in, April, May, June, so 2 months ago. Hi, Chris. Good day to you. Thanks for connecting. Hey, thanks. Welcome to the madness. My pleasure. How are you? Causing chaos in the world this morning at RSA. It's kind of my default answer. And I got, no way. And that was back in April. Okay, so Ned didn't hear anything. And then yesterday afternoon, I'm from insert company. I hope I'm not catching you at a bad time. The reason for my reach out today is to tell you about an exciting event coming up this August called Black Hat 2023. Like, don't do this. Do I want to read anymore? I feel like I'm about to get... I feel at this point, I'm like, I'm going off the edge of the cliff. Black Hat 2023 is one of the most anticipated cybersecurity conferences of the year, bringing together top experts and professionals. We have an amazing lineup of sessions and activities, and one of the highlights is the Black Hat training courses. So, okay, first and foremost, and we'll get to this next paragraph. This training will enhance your individual skill sets and benefit your company as a whole. You will become better equipped to prevent hackers from attacking your organization's systems. And at that point, I'm like, and we're done.
What was wrong with it? What?
Fucking everything. Like, everything was wrong with it. How? I mean, where do you start with this one? Okay, I have it on my profile. Researcher, hacker. I'm a hack. I am loud and I am proud. Like, I'm a hacker. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Don't freaking blame us for shit.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, I mean, you're working for a security company and you're blaming hackers. Y'all might want to look at your leadership team. They were probably hackers as well. So first and foremost, you just blamed our own industry for being the worst people that are out there that we're attacking. So that one's like the red flag to the bull. Secondly, introducing me to Black Hat. There we go. Perfect. From Ali. Yeah. Hey, Chris, see me going to Black Hat or even have the fun. We call it summer camp. Let's face it. It's pretty much a summer camp. Hey, are you heading out to summer camp this year? Or the madness out in Vegas this year. You know, just make light of the darn thing. Yeah, want to grab a cup of... Now, here's the only challenge to Ali... Here's the only challenge on setting up any meetings out of Black Hat Def Con. It's kind of like RSA. That it's a lunatic asylum out there. It is an absolute lunatic asylum. So there are a couple of things for anybody that's listening in on this one. If you're approaching leadership folks... and go, hey, you want to grab a time for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee? It's really tough. I haven't fully set my schedule up for Black Hat. I mean, you and I are going to probably end up catching up for a bit of Black Hat or DEF CON, I'm sure, so whatever. I know I've got some talk stuff I've got to do. I also know that I've got the Tinkerer stuff I've got to do. I've also committed to helping out with a few other places. I've got a team of my team of going out there. So guess who's playing Mother Hen to some degree? I want to show them around and introduce them. I mean, Justin's running. He runs the car hacking village. We've got the aviation village I want to spend some time at. So my time out there is, you know, a spaghetti mess already of conflicting calendars. So it's really tough for me. So in some ways, the, hey, you want to grab a cup of tea resonates. But in other ways, it actually doesn't, because that, unlike that in RSA, it overstresses me sometimes, because again, you're having to bounce between three or four, five hotels. Then if somebody doesn't want to be anywhere near the strip, they'll go find somewhere 10 minutes walk away. And I'm like, motherfucker, I'm here. And I got to walk down there in the middle of the 120 degree heat. I just don't want to do that. It's a real tough one. So this one, Black Hat DEF CON, B-sides, all are a little harder to approach. And also the other thing, let's be very honest. I mean, your event in an evening is one of 10, 15 other events that are going to go on. And so stick your head into our event is a pain in the ass. Because I actually, in the evening, want to unwind and relax. I don't want to then spend the rest of my night going between four different bloody events because I feel obliged to, because I said yes to people because imposter syndrome and everything else. Yeah.
That's an interesting topic, is like what a good event looks like for you, you know, and like what resonates with you. And I mean, we talked about this, you know, with the RSA stuff, and we talked about buzzword bingo. We talked about all this stuff, which, by the way, shameless plug, actually not so shameless plug. We did, George and I did a RSA conference, messaging and messaging analysis, which is coming out very soon, folks. It'd be interesting though, to understand what resonates with you from an events like an offsite standpoint, right? Like, what are you doing? What does your schedule look like? Like, what helps you there? You know, you talk about the Tinker stuff, unwinding, insight, learning, anything that's kind of like helping you out at those events. We don't have to touch on that today. We could obviously...
Let's do that as an episode. I think
yeah, 100%.
As we lead up to DEF CON... Let's touch on that. You know, what does for anybody in a leadership experience, what is a good experience for that individual look like?
Yeah.
I mean, RSA, you know, and again, I think we'll touch on that one. I think let's do that as an episode. I like that.
100%. Right? Yeah, because, you know, like you said, there's just so much going on and there's so much offsite going on. And these, you know, vendors are, you know, doubling down on lobbies and bars and cocktail parties and all, even like, you know, panels and everything.
I mean, there's almost too much of it. You know, I love the Whiskey and Dynamite thing. Actually, we have DEF CON shoot, or we used to. I haven't even done it in a couple of years. We used to do DEF CON shoot, which was great. It actually happened before we started in DEF CON Black. It was a good way to blow off steam, basically shooting whatever the weaponry you had into the side of a hill at high velocity. But even that was fraught, shall we say, because it was a half hour drive outside of Vegas. It was in the middle of a fucking desert in the hottest time of the day. So, you know, I am, let's face it, I'm bright white and I fry at the sight of the sun, kind of like half us in the tech world. And yet you're out there in the blazing heat with your weaponry in the dust. And yeah, no, it's there's pluses and minuses.
Yeah,
let's tackle that one. That should be a good topic for us.
Yeah.
I think back to this one though. I want to go back to the messages.
Yep.
You know, this Kelly hit me up. She's actually out at another one of the security companies I used to work for. And I think this is a nice one because it started off as a human thing. It was like, hey, I like your, I appreciate what it takes to be a speaker. I appreciate your post about what it takes to be a speaker. It was done nicely. It wasn't slimy, smarmy or anything like that. There was no creepy thing about it. It was actually nice. Like, hey, I appreciate what you did. Thank you. And I appreciate that somebody says that. It takes time to write that shit. And I actually do appreciate it. Laid out a case. Hey, I'm program chapter for ISSA in my neck of the woods. This is what we're up to. This is what we're doing. Love the idea on this. Hey, any chance you want to come along and hang out and talk? Holy shit. I mean, just no pressure, no hassle, no grief, nothing other than a human talking to another human. And that hit, and it's sitting up there. I've got to actually respond to it today. But I think that was one of those where it was a human. It wasn't a pre-recorded script. It wasn't a cut and paste from a selection of responses. It was somebody who was like, hey, I took the time to read through this. I respect it. I appreciate it. This is what we're doing. This is what we're up to. Any chance you fancy coming out? No, like, we want to see you on this date because you know what my fucking calendar looks like. We want to do this. What time do you have next week to talk? Not even that. Because again, that induces a level of stress. Hey, do you have 10 minutes to talk next week? Oh, I don't know. Now I've got to look at my calendar. I've got to do this. No, I don't have time to do that. Hey, this is what we're up to. Fancy coming out and hanging out. Brilliant. That gives me freedom. It gives me choice.
Yeah, giving you choice, like even giving an option to say no, I think works very well. Like, I mean, it works really well with me. Are you in? Are you out? Are you in now, but later?
Okay, so that's a perfect way of looking at it. So I remember, again, being, I remember when we would get back from conferences, you know, we had a list of folks that we talked with, you know, I kept the spreadsheet, put it up on the business development thing, which was a spreadsheet, and went through the list and went through the business cards we collected and said, okay, let's start going through these and who's worthwhile talking to and who isn't. The first email that we would typically send out was a, hey, first and foremost, on that business card, we'd always write on the back of it. This is one thing that pisses me off with QR code business cards. Downside, you're a bunch of fucking youngins. Your damn QR code business cards, you can't write notes on them. You know this. I mean, I was taught this. You know, when you take a business card from somebody, I always used to take 30 seconds and just write a note down. Where did I meet them? What was I thinking about? What was the conversation? What was the follow-up? I used to sit on the fucking airplane on the way back from conferences, sending messages related to the notes on the back of business cards. You can't do that shit with your fucking QR codes.
I'm going to send that clip from The Office where Michael Scott was competing for a business. Have you ever watched The Office?
No, I have not.
Okay, I'm going to send it in to you and I'm going to send it to this thread where he basically is competing for business. He opened up a new paper business and his old company tried to steal one of his clients. He wanted to take the client back and the competing business went in assuming they knew everything about the client and basically fumbled everything. But Michael Scott went and won the business because he remembered everything he wrote down about the person. He did the research, he wrote it down, he had his like Rolodex of everything, like all prepared ahead of time, which got him to be personable with the people. It was so funny, but it reminds me of exactly like that. Like you have to know things about these people and note it down and keep it in.
Yeah, I mean, I do that. And even on my side as the CISO, if I'm taking somebody's business card, like at Rocky Mountain InfoSec, and I grabbed the business card for like only about two or three places, and I wrote on the cards, you know, this is why I actually wanted to talk with them. I'll likely follow up when I get 5 minutes. But the same thing from like being on the vendor side, I would literally sit on the airplane and I'd be sitting in my seat on the airplane. I'd be sitting here. I'd have my spreadsheet, which would have, you know, the name, the company, the info, and then the notes tab. And then I'd do send an email saying, hey, it's great to catch up with you. Love the conversations we have. If you see a follow-up or if there's anything we can have to talk with, even on LinkedIn, like, hey, love the conversation we had around X. You know, let's reference the conversation. Love the conversation we had around X. Enjoy the time. Grateful for you sticking your head in and saying hi. If there is anything that we can help you with, let us know. Just as a reminder, and it was bullet points. You know, we work on this, 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 and this. Look forward to staying in touch or talking soon. Done.
Yeah.
80% of the time, maybe I'd hear from them in another life or another thing, or at him or LinkedIn. 20% of the time, I get a message about saying, hey, yeah, great conversation. Let's keep talking about X.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that takes time. That takes work. That takes effort. That takes actually having to customize the message. Now, I will freely admit, some of that message was templated. You know, hey, just as a reminder part, this is what we're up to and stuff like that one. But very much so, there was a lot of the personal side, but you've got to do it like that same evening or that same flight back, or you leave it for a week or two and you're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're heading towards the end of the session.
Yeah.
Anything you want to impart on the audience today?
It's hard. It's hard to approach anybody on the tech side. It's even harder to take the extra 5 minutes to learn about your target, because it flies in the face of conventional wisdom, which is spray and pray, no matter which way you look at it. But taking those extra few minutes pays dividends in the long run. No two ways about it. We get so much stuff that's automated, that's spewed out of a development, sales, marketing, internet says do this right, that so many of us see straight through it. And so taking that extra minute or two to add a couple of sentences relating directly to that person that you're talking with will pay off. You know, instead of getting a 2% response, you get a 10% response at the very best, let's just say. Nothing's perfect, but you will get a better level of response. And I think that opens it. That makes you a human, and you stand out as a human in a world of digital autonomous systems these days. So I think that's it. Be more authentic and be more human.
Yeah, and I just add on to that. Context is key for sure. And having a level of vulnerability plays in your favor.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need to come with, you know, the starving kids that need the school feed, but at least right. I need to be a bloody human about things.
Yeah. 100%. All right. Well, this has been a pleasure.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a madness going on. Three Great Danes are running around the place and the contractors at the house at the moment, which should not be a bad thing.
Oh my goodness. How are they doing, by the way?
They're good. I got back this morning, I got an early flight, so I actually landed at 12:30, 1 o'clock this morning. I got back to the house by like 1:30 or so. But Milo was like, "Well," you could see his head came up from the server. He's like, "Dad, dad, hi, snacks."
Beautiful. Well, this has been a pleasure, and this has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We are out.